Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Shabbat shalom and a melkam hood right here, here, here. Once again, here, first day service. Let's call it a Hoshiana, Hosanna, Hosanna, first day. What is Hosanna, right? How do we get Hosanna from the Hebrew Hoshiana? Does it mean the same thing, you know, say Hosanna? What do you think Hosanna means? What's the significance? Significance right here. Okay, so the live stream, you see the live stream just has tuned in. Hail up to the brothers and sisters on the Rastafari Israelites. So here for Hoshiana, Hosanna, right? Hosanna first day, right? Hosanna first day that the Gentiles call Sunday. We're here the first day of the Shavua. Here in the season, reason for the season, it corresponds with the seventh day of the feast of the festival, according to the Hebraic, the Ethio-Hebraic, the lunar, the solar calendar. So here for the first day service and just getting a listen to the read, you know, a hearing here in the season, a read and a hearing of Ecclesiastes. And we're touching on some of the basics. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Touching on some of the basics of Ecclesiastes. What are some of the basics before we ride up with the second, you know, the second part of the reading from our brother Ron Hezekiah. Give thanks, Brother Hezekiah, for the read. Because every time I mention this to another brethren, I said, and he had read a portion of scripture, I think it was from, let's see, where, okay, it was actually from Shemuel Samuel. Heal up Ron Seymour. Yes, I, live bird right there, there, there. Chaplain, brethren, and he shared the reading, and as he read it, I'm listening, and it's like, I was familiar with the verse when he got into it, you know, I'm familiar, but you know, like the Ethiopian official, a.k.a. the Ethiopian eunuch, the black Jew there in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, when Philip heard him reading, you know, and Philip asked him that, you know, my friend, do you understand what you read? Like, yo, what you think? I can't read, blah, blah, blah. You know, no, he humbled. He like, this, you know, how can I unless a man guide me? That's that brotherly love right there. So, you know, I'm familiar with it, but I said, let me just hear it again, you know? And as I heard it again, there was something new or renewed. It's like it kind of added. I'll say it added, you know. So I recommend that, brothers and sisters. Of course, one reading for themselves, you know, and even we improving our reading for yourself, but also to hear others read it, just among the brethren and the sister, you know, because when you hear it, there's things that you hear, you know, that help us to grow in grace and the knowledge. So I and I give thanks, and from the reading so far, up to chapter 4, we're going to pick up with chapter 5, right, to the fulfillment, chapter 12. We're going over some of the basics right here. So we have Kohelet, right, Kohelet. As we mentioned, it's on the Feast of Tabernacles, when this has been appointed by the ancient Hebrew Judaic patriarchs, you know, for reading, you know, for reading in our booth, our hut, our pavilion, you know, in our tabernacle during the season, and for a public reading, you know, a public reading on the Shabbat, you know, the Sabbath of that particular feast, because it's for 8 days. So at least one, you know, at least one of, you know, there'll be one Shabbat within most of the all of the observances of the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. It's a Shavua long. It's a strong, long dwelling, abiding. Now think about the word became flesh and dwelt and tabernacled amongst us. And this word right here, you know, in I meditation, even Kohelet's mind. Kohelet, I'm referring to him as from the Hebrew perspective to get I brothers and sisters familiar, you know. So we're going to start out right here just going over some of the basics and give thanks once again for the read. Right now there's a paragraphical, like an introduction that's found in one of our study references for the Talmudim in the Rastafari Yeshiva for the fellow disciples. And we utilize as a stepping stone, right, the Scofield Study Bible because of the notes and the reasonings. Another Rastaman suggested it to I. I don't know whether the tribes, Heal Up the 12 Tribes organization, you know, we as Israel, heal up the organization of Rastafari, the 12 tribes, because they also pointed to this. At least some of the members, they pointed out, oh, yeah, they said His Majesty had recommended the English and Schofield study. Now, I don't know whether His Majesty did or not. Perhaps he might have been learning a lot of things. But from just accepting that on credit, you know, almost on faith, on trust, and then going through it, I said, yeah, it's very interesting. I saw more even of the time of the Ethiopia, the Israelites of Ethiopia, Rastafari, and I people connection to the book. So here from Ecclesiastes, it says Ecclesiastes, semicolon, or, comma, the preacher, period. So we have Ecclesiastes or the preacher. From the Hebraic, we say Kohelet, the Kohelet. What is the Kohelet? So Kohelet, because this book begins off, Divrei Kohelet Bena David Melech, Be Yerushalayim, right? More of the modern Hebrew, more ancient pointing. Divrei Kohelet ben David Melech be Yerushalayim. The words of Kohelet, the son of David, ben David, right? Ben David. Son of David, Melech, king, be in Yerushalayim, be Yerushalayim, king in Jerusalem. Second verse right here, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, or Hebraically, saith Kohelet. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Hevel havalim, amar Kohelet. Havel Havalim, Hakol Havel, Hakol, the all, the entirety, Hakol Havel, all is vanity, or Hebel, as we explained, the Hebel in the Hebrew, from the Hebrew, Hebel is like a breath, like a puff of air. like a breath, a puff of air. Why is this the word that's used to convey the idea, the sense of vanity? Because a puff of breath is just a, you know what I mean? A breath of air. It doesn't have any permanence. It's not the word for breath, but it's a word for like a puff. Just a puff of breath, a puff of air. Just like a, it doesn't have any permanence, no substance to it. Therefore, this word, right, as the Hebraic like word picture was associated with the idea that we kind of come to, you know, of vanity. But the Hebraic brings out another dimension. As Sister Kalungi says, like, you know how we need to learn the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew, the Amharic, you know, especially I put those firstly and foremostly, you know, because the English is ruining our mentality. And for the once lost, now found, black and brown, remember the Woolly Lynch? Remember the Woody Lynch papers or whatever they call them things, you know? There's a section known as controlled language, right, in the short version of what's known as the How to Make a Slave, the Woody Lynch papers. It says about controlled language, take away from us our language, from the enslaved, Hebrews and Israelites, once lost, now found, Jah people. The black and brown people, take away from us our language and give us a faulty comprehension of their language. You know, a faulty comprehension of their language. That's why I mentioned the Ethiopian official, the Ethiopian black Jew that went forward to Jerusalem to worship. That was one of the first, you know, on the record, you know what I mean, to follow the Moshiach Yeshua. When he was asked, do you understand what you're reading? You know, imagine some of we's people. We might be like, yo, what you think? You think I'm stupid? You know what I mean? But that humility, that humbleness. So we might think we know English, right? But we really don't know English like we should know English, and much less our own language. So controlled language, check that out right there, why it's important for us, you know, even some basic words. The fact that preacher, we get this idea of preacher, right? The preacher and the pastor, right? And then because of some bad preachers and pastors or off ones, we think that the whole profession is ruined. Ain't that something? You know what I'm saying? Because some go off. It's like with the Pharisees and the scribes. There were many good Pharisees and scribes, but this time in the testimony of Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yeshua HaNotri, They were bad. They were off. It's like we say, man, back in the days, that was hip-hop. That was reggae. That was roots. And then, you know, time goes on, and we say, oh, man, this is not reggae. This is not roots. That's not the king's music there. That's not hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? What happened? That, because this is fake, right? That hip-hop is fake. Then some people say, well, all of it is fake. So we have to avoid that because, you know, there's destiny in words, you know, and even the idle words, we have to give account, you know, trying to say, you know, certain things about ones that we don't really know. Like even the translation, we say the King James Version translation is a good stepping stone, but like with a stepping stone, make sure it doesn't become a stumbling block. Like for some of the Israelites, they'll be like, the King James, like that came from Mount Sinai or something like that. Or like it even was King James, you know, like King James himself sat down and said, I'm going to write a book. No, no, no. Learn, study to shew ourselves approved. So let's zoom in on preacher for one moment here, Kohelet, because this will also explain, you know, explain the name of this particular book from the Hebrew perspective. We don't call this book Vanity of Vanities. We call it the preacher. In English, it's called Ecclesiastes. Now, what is Ecclesiastes? Ecclesia, ekkalio, from the Koine Greek of the New Testament, means outcalled. That was the sense of ecclesia. Any Spanish speakers, you know, Hispanics, Latino, you speak Spanish or any other Romance languages, ecclesia is the church. It's the outcalled assembly, which corresponds exactly to the Hebrew term at the root of Kohelet, was the Hebrew term kahal, kahal. What is kahal? The kahal. The kahal basically is the called out, to assemble. It has a sense of assemble, right, to assemble. That's why when His Majesty Gormawi Nugusnages Karmawi Haile Selassie says that the church is not the mere building. Some people think church, I'm going to church. You could say you're going to church in the true sense, I'm going to the assembly, but if you think it's just mean the building, no, this is the building where we assemble, but we are the body, right? But the kahal is at the root of Kohelet. So some of the Rebbeinot, even some of our ancient black Yehudi Rebbeinot rabbis, they had asked why Shlomo, Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon is called here in this book appointed for reading in our sukkah, in our booth, our pavilion, our secret place, you know, over these 7 to 8 days. Why is this particular book, Ecclesiastes, called in the Hebrew Kohelet? And they answered, because his words, Solomon's words, Hebraically, Shlomo, contracted. Because Shlomo's Devarav, by his words, was spoken in the assembly, which in the Hebrew is known as the Kahal. In the New Testament sense, one of the Hebrew words for church is Kehillah. Kehillah is from the same root as kahal, kahal, the assembly. Now, what about, now, when you know Hebrew, then you begin to ask these questions here. So, you know, peep and I, brothers and sisters to the Hebrew, you know, the Judaic game, so to speak, right? There's a feminine form. The feminine form of the word, Kohelet, is the feminine form of the word. So he begins off saying the words of Kohelet, right, the preacher, but the feminine form because of the te, the tav, the tau at the end, right? One of the markers for certain words that have a more feminine resonance. Some words have a masculine resonance. Both together, that's divine double helix, male and female. He created, not emanated, but created man in his image after his likeness, a male and female. So here we have Kohelet, the feminine, right? Divrei Kohelet Ben Dawi, the son of David. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with, you know, modern day, they may talk about gender bender, or these different transient states of conscious being and other things going on nowadays in these end times. But there's a deeper aspect. The feminine form of the word is explained, right, on the reasonment, personifies, Kohelet personifies Chokmah. Chokmah in the Hebrew, Chokmah. Who is Chokmah? Rabbeinu Yeshua, right? I and I, Rabbi Yeshua Hanotze, Jesus of Nazareth, in Nazareth to Jesus, he explains that, he says, wisdom is justified by all of her children. A more better translation could be wisdom, she is justified, to bring out the sense. She is justified, right, by all of right, her children. So I'm asking in the beginning when it says man has become like one of us to know good and evil, they said, who was he speaking to? It must have been a group of people, an assembly of gods or something. No, it was our Father, right? And according to the type, if one may dare speak this way, it was our Father and our Mother. It was Ha'ilahim. You know, the powers and singularities, he who be, we be, the almighty powers, and Chokmah, and wisdom, and Tibet, we say the Hebrew Sophia. So the feminine form has been reasoned on here, the Kohelet of the preacher, right, based on the reasonment that it personifies, right, wisdom. As I explained to my brothers, the Haberim, I said, when we read Proverbs, it's interesting. I said this before, and sisters, don't take no offense, but, you know, here. That wisdom mainly is speaking to men. In other words, Proverbs is mainly speaking to men, as most of the commandments are mainly speaking to men. It's not saying that women are exempt, but it's like what happened in the beginning, the Bereishis, in wisdom in the beginning. In chapter 2, Adam was told not to, you know, eat of the, you know, tree, the fruit of the tree. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you do it, so you will be dying to death, bringing out the Hebrew sense. You'll be dying to death. In other words, some people get by the translation that he would have had to die that very moment. No, the Hebrew doesn't really betray that Gentile state of mind. You know, motum motun, you know, you will be dying to death. Almost like as people when they're born, you know, like some people say when somebody's born, that's a great thing. But it's almost like from that moment that somebody's born, you know, realistically speaking, they are dying. Think about it. For a moment, even a nude or a young baby, you know, because as it's going to generate and then get to a point where it begins to degenerate. So at that particular point, when he would eat of it, he will begin to degenerate. And the process of decay is death. Death is not just something just dead. I mean, that's what we experience and are used to seeing happen, but actually that process, just as regeneration is also a process. So the Trinity must be processed. So personifying wisdom is feminine in the Hebrew, according to the Hebrew HD, right? The Hebrew, the higher definition, the Hebrew dimension, the Hebrew da'at, that's the Sephirot on the tree of life that's often hidden. You know, from the idiodotes, that means knowledge, the da'at, right? So according to the Hebrew, Kohelet, right, is feminine in the form that it takes, and wisdom, Chokmah, is feminine, who is the speaker, who is said to be the speaker in the book. The speaker in the book is Solomon. He's taking on Kohelet. But when you read Proverbs, if you put Proverbs in the perspective, Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, Solomon, Negu Solomon, he is like the dean of the college. Basically, Proverbs is a book for disciples. For disciples and for the scribes, because the scribes in the ancient time, even in ancient Mitzrayim, ancient Egypt, yeah, we picked up some things there, you know what I mean? But then they picked it up from Cush, and we could go around and around back to the roots, right? But anyway, right, we have wisdom. And so he's a dean of the college for disciples, for students coming into wisdom, that rite of passage, you could say that ancient Hebrew bar mitzvah, right? And going through the book of Proverbs, right? In Proverbs, it begins off where Solomon introduces himself. It's different than this book right here, Ecclesiastes. He introduces himself, you know what I mean? King of Israel, you know, so forth and so on. And then he says, all right, class, hear the instruction of thy father. In type, he is like a father, you know what I mean? You know, for the students, right? Forsake not the law, the Torah, also feminine, right, of thy mother. See, these things are often lost in translation, and then it gives the Gentile version gives a false misogynistic, is that how you say it? Chauvinistic, right? I thought I had to do with that guy named Chauvin, but anyway, I digress right there. But once you come out of the Western Gentile, you know, you stick your head out into the firmament, as a brother in Rashimah, you know, reminded me of that. You seen that picture where the man is sticking his head outside the firmament and he's seeing the stars? So you have to kind of get out of that Gentile state of mind, and then you see the whole context of it, right? Now, some say that according to the Hebrew usage, right, there is a neuter adjective with the meaning, the type of speaker in an assembly. So even the type of speaker in an assembly is called the Kohelet. But the Kohelet is Hebraically a feminine word. So can woman teach? Well, woman is the first teacher. You have to understand Rabbi Shaul, the great apostle Paul, and the other disciples, the context of what they were speaking about. You know, we were speaking among Gentiles in mixed company. You know, our woman, the Hebrew daughters, they overstood the order, right? And when they have to speak, you know, they can assume that order, you know, in order, but not to, what it says, I suffer not a woman to usurp. Usurp is like, you know, I don't suffer a man to usurp authority over me as a man, just as a basic point of principle, if I can help it, right? It's saying that to the Gentiles. But the woman, that does not say that the woman cannot teach. People exaggerate. They like to exaggerate stuff. Is the Bible the only book they ever read? You know what I mean? Haven't they read a dictionary, you know, and a grammar book so they can understand the context of what they are reading? Just point this out to ones and ones that go, and many of us have gone there. But here in the study, we recognize that speaker in an assembly is a Kohelet, whether it's male or female. But since it's a feminine form, it's no doubt because the first teacher is the mother, the first teacher of the child. So any mothers out there, you know, whether mothers-to-be, you know, you're the first teacher. Even while in vitro, you know, in embryo, the first teacher, you know, the child learns. I mean, who else is going to learn from? Who else is there? You know, it's the Isaiah. So the type of speaker in an assembly, right? So both are basically true, right? Both concerning wisdom. When Solomon begins off the discipleship teaching in Proverbs, right? Here is the dean of the college. And now, class, here is your professor. Here is your instructor. Bring in Kohelet. Yes, wisdom. Come forward. She will be instructing you, along with her sister Bina. Bina. Who's Bina? Right. Bina, well, I know someone's probably make some jokes what we hear, right? But Bina is understanding, right? They are two sisters, so to speak, two kinswomen, so to speak, right? But what they represent, right, is a true Hebrew mind, both to the masculine and the feminine, and then the coming together to gather the balance, which has been lost due to, you know, a lot of translation. I'm not saying that they intended. English is just limited like that. Once you look at the Hebrew, we can see that right there. You know what I mean? In the English, they say it. And you mean it, he, or it, she. Usually they mean it, she. So the English translators, for whatever reason, they cover up, you know, the feminine and especially the divine feminine. And it seems as though they over-exaggerate, you know, like the negative aspects, but cover up many of the positive aspects. You know, that concerns the divine feminine. Remember, he said, let us create man in our image after our likeness. So who was he speaking to? Man has become as one of us. You say he's speaking to the Son. He's speaking to Jesus, right? Wasn't he? Well, I thought Jesus, according to theology in the scripts, Jesus, Yeshua, is the Word made flesh. So basically, according to the Hebrew theology, it was the Father, when he spoke, he caused his speaking, right, to incarnate, his word to incarnate, and his word to die so he can resurrect his word, and it can be a new covenant. Haven't you seen it like that, in that sense? So he wasn't speaking to his word when he spoke. That is his word. So his speaking would be like, theologically, the pre-incarnate in the carnals, in the flesh, Yeshua. So he couldn't have been speaking to his word in that sense, because the true Trinity, the Hebrew Trinity, is always at agreement. You know, so he was speaking to wisdom. How do we know he was speaking to wisdom? Elohim in the beginning, even in the Gan Eden, concerning the fate of Adam, right? It's because of what is written in Proverbs. Let me go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, Hebrew. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, actually the principal, right? Wisdom is the reshith. What's the first word of the first book of Moshe? Reshith, in wisdom. Hailahim created the heavens and the earth. And then she proves it even furthermore in Solomon's book, the Mashal, right? The Mishalim, Mishle Shlomo, the Proverbs, parables, allegories, right, of Solomon in chapter 8, which has been incorporated in the Israelites of Ethiopia and the Christianos, the true Messiahites, you could say Nazarene according to principle, in a prayer in their liturgy known as the prayer of the fraction. It's called the prayer of the fraction. You know, sacred geometry, it's really the Priya of the fractal, right? The sacred geometry, the fractal, but it's translated as the Priya of the fraction, right? Where it asks, where is the country of wisdom, right? And it actually quotes Proverbs chapter 8. But in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom says that she was there with Hylahim, with he. She was there with he even in the even before the beginning, before the mountains were settled, before the earth was, and all of that. She was there in the very beginning. So when Yeshua says, right, in the Gospels that wisdom is justified by all of her children. So if we are wise and we are her children, right, then who is our father? Therefore, well, then who is our mother? Therefore, this is the reason why Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. So basically what Solomon is saying in those words, opening words, before wisdom comes forward to give the fuller instruction is, my disciple, my child, my disciple, hear the instruction of thy father. In this order, I'm your father, and here's the instruction I'm giving you. Forsake not the Torah of thy mother. That brings in an interesting thing when they call it like Mother Ukka. So who would be the Mother Ukka in that context there? One who forsakes the Torah of thy mother. Now, Kohelet, he is the son of David, the Ben Dawid. Now, in the Midrash, the study, the Midrash, Midrash, like the Amhar Deres, Dersan, Derese, Darash, to seek, the seeking, seeking you'll find in the Midrash. It emphasizes the fact that Kohelet, the preacher, was a king, a Melech, the son of a king. Ben Melech was a sage, a wise man, and the son of a sage, a wise man, and son of a man, according to the scripts, after Yahweh's own heart. That's close. A righteous man, the son of a tzaddik, right? As is Melchizedek, tzaddik, a righteous king, a son of a righteous man. Now, some say it's possible that this rabbinic, when we say rabbinic, there were good rabbis like our rabbi, Rabboni, Yeshua, right? But the order had degenerated. You know, it goes through that from time to time. But according to the ancient teaching, the characterization is to be connected with a report in one of the ancient Talmuds. Talmud is a compendium. It means teaching. There are different teachings. This one is Shabbat 30b, that some of the Rebbanim, the scholars of the Torah, wish to exclude, right? Some of the ancient scholars of Torah wanted to exclude this book, Kohelet, right, from the scriptures. People say, oh, the Bible, the Catholics are the one that put it together. Yeah, I heard that too. But actually, there was already the ancient Hebrew canon of scripture. See, people had the canon of Holy Scripture before, you know, the Europeans or the white people, Anglo-Saxon Protestant in the latter day white Jews and white Christians came along. They already had a canon, right? The fact is, it wasn't all in one Biblia. They didn't have it in one Biblia with different scrolls, right? If you can, ask to see in the synagogue the ark. Ask them to open up the ark. When you open up the ark in the synagogue in the Hebrew church, what do you find? You find different scrolls. So different scrolls, but they wanted to exclude it from being regarded as scripture, right? Why? Why did these ancient scholars of the Torah, the Rebbanim, the rabbis, want to exclude it? Because they found in it passages that, according to them, contradicted one another. You know, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so it depends on how you're seeing it, right? Seen? And also statements that they thought might undermine faith. Well, actually, I think they thought there were statements that might undermine a particular form of faith that might be called a religion, right? For this reason, in their praise of the book, the other Rebbanim, like the Rebbanim, like Yeshua, you know, the other, the right-thinking ones, they, you know, in their praise of the book, the other Rebbanim, scholars of Torah, they implied that all its words, speaking of Ecclesiastes, were conducive, right, plus, right, to righteousness, especially since Kohelet, this preacher, right? The Ben David, the son of David, a wise and a righteous Melech, a righteous Negus, a righteous king. And the fruit does not fall far from the proverbial tree, right? Just as the words of David, what are the words of David? By and large, it's the Tehillim, known as the Book of Psalms, right? The words of David, the Divrei David, they were upright and without blemish. So were the words of Kohelet, of the preacher, his son, right, Shlomo. Now, he said he was king in Jerusalem. Just a basic breakdown and build right here, right? King in Jerusalem, this phrase here, Melech B'Yerushalayim, Melech B'Yerushalayim, or Melech B'Yerushalayim, Melech B'Yerushalayim. The phrase is to be attached to Kohelet, to the preacher, speaking of Shlomo, not to David. Now, there is a Talmudic tradition, a tradition that at first Solomon ruled over the whole earth, right? And we put that in perspective, the whole region, right? The earth. The earth, when we look at the word earth, it can mean the land, or you can look at it, right, in the latter-day view of, like, the globe, although they did not use any word called globe. They use the words for globe more with the heavens. The heavens is a celestial globe, and this is the earthly plane. So he ruled over the whole earth, over the lands, afterward, over all Israel. So there's a tradition, a reasoning that actually Solomon had ruled over all the lands, and then he ruled over Kol Yisrael, over Israel. And finally, he ruled over Yerushalayim alone. So his rulership didn't begin from, we could say, Jerusalem to Israel to the whole earth. For some reason, say he ruled over the whole earth, right? Like earth's rightful ruler. Because after all, does it say that Solomon, he sat on the throne of Yahuwah, of Jehovah? But I thought that was supposed to be up in the sky. But it says in the scripts, he sat on the throne of Jehovah. Oh, that's on earth. So first he ruled over the whole earth, right, then over all of Israel, then over Jerusalem alone. Some comment that Kohelet is described as king, Melech, B'Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, as a tribute to Hakmato, his Chokmah, his wisdom. Since it was a city, right, at that time, put things in context, famed for the wisdom of its inhabitants. So here we have the words in Ecclesiastes, the Divrei Kohelet, the words of Kohelet, right? Whenever scripture uses the phrase, the words of, or Divrei, which also may be interpreted as the oracles, right? The oracles of God, the Divrei Elohim, the oracles or the words, the purpose is to speak words of reproof or admonition. So when we study the context of scripts, it seems that whenever we get the words of, right, in this kind of construction in the Hebrew, often is a reproof or an admonition. There's a midrashic teaching from the study of the scripts, right, that in the case of three prophets, three, a trinity, three prophets, because their messages consist of chiding and rebuke, right, and we would almost call it like divine dissing, right, divine dissing, chiding, and rebuke. Their prophecies depend on themselves. Their prophecies depend upon themselves. That is to say, the books of the other prophets begin with a phrase that is indicative of the divine origin. For example, we have the words of Yahuwah, right, of Jehovah, or the vision Ha-Hazon, as in Isaiah 1 and 1 and in Hosea 1 and 1. But not so in the following three, right, a trinity, three instances. What are these three? The words of Divrei Kohelet, the words of Amos, Divrei Amos, and the words of Jeremiah, the Divrei Yeremiah of Ermias, of Jeremiah. So we have Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, Amos, and Jeremiah. These three begin with the words of. So from a critical point of view, right, this is only a literary and stylistic peculiarity. So some of us might think, you know, it's just a critical point of view, right? It's literary. It's a style. You know how they chose to write. These are the words inspired by Ha'elohim, right? The words inspired by Elohim, right, are said to be gentle and compassionate and not characterized by bitterness. What you think? Right, the words of Ha'elohim. So some would say the words of God are gentle and compassionate and not characterized by bitterness. Those who prefer to think of the Divrei Kohelet, the words of, right, as just a literary, a Hebrew literary and a stylistic, you know, peculiarity. But let's get into the heart of the matter right here, and right up with the hearing. Let's touch on this verse right here, the second verse. Vanities of vanities, saith Kohelet, the preacher. Vanity of vanity, or the assembler. It can also be the assembler, like the master of ceremonies. That's another way of bringing it out. The MC, the master of ceremonies. Vanity of vanities, saith Kohelet, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Habel Habalim, Amar Kohelet, Habel Habalim, Hakol Habel. All is just a puff, right? Just a puff, almost like just a dream. You know, when people say just a dream like that, it's a dream. You wake up, it's gone. It's a puff. The author's introduction in verses 2 to 11, the intro. Everything is just a puff of air, a breath, right? An endless repetition, on, cycles, even here in the year, right, the Torah reading and feeding, here the seventh of the feast, here the fulfillment of the holy season, in season, and about to go out of season for the next 4 or 5 months and moons before Pesach comes around again. So some say, oh, it's an endless repetition. This is the story both of the natures, of the nature, right, the elemental aspects of the iration and of man. So this is the story. This is the root, the core of the narrative of the natures, of the nature, the elementals, right, of creation and of man and of the human being. Havel Havalim, Habel Habalim, vanity of vanities. The word Habel or Hebel is to be reckoned as occurring seven times in the verse. Uh-oh, that's seven again, two sevens, the sevens, seventh month, right, the seventh feast, seventh festival for 7 days, you know, plus one, you know. So the word Hebel is to be reckoned as occurring seven times in the second verse, the word vanity. And each, get this right here, each is like a plural. In the Hebrew, there's a plural that denotes two. So when in Hebrew, according to the basics of Hebrew, whenever we have the im, for example, right, in the masculine sense, like Habel, Habel, Habalim, Habalim, the im there makes it plural. But according to the basics of Hebrew, the im often denotes two or sometimes more. Two or more, right? So whenever we have the im, usually it's two or more. So here we're looking at this as in the duality where it says Habel, Habalim, Amar Kohelet. So that'll be three right there, right? Habel, Habalim. That'll be another three right there. Hakol, the all, the entirety, Habel. So we have seven. So it's a three, right? So in the vanity of vanities, the vanities is at least two. So that's three vanities, and all is just one big vanity. Is another way of bringing it out from the Hebrew perspective, the Hebrew mind. The number seven, therefore, it corresponds to the days of the world's creation, iration. Also here in the season, the feast. Kohelet, accordingly, he pronounces the judgment. Also this season, the fall festival season, the third of the three times, we have the Yom HaKippurim, the Yom HaDin, the day of judgment of the coverings, you know, the atonement, that judgment sense. So Kohelet, the assembler, the master of ceremonies, the preacher, he pronounces judgment that the 7 days of the creation, right, were, if one may dare speak this way, the height of vanity. Just a breath or a puff. Literally, as we mentioned, the word habel or hebel, it signifies a breath, that which lacks substance. The phrase, it indicates the superlative, like the best of the best. For real, for real? For real, for real. You see, when we do that, for real, for real. Right? Good, 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 good. You know, why we do that? Because it's in our DNA, Hebraically speaking, right? Once lost, now found. The phrase, it indicates a superlative degree, like to the utmost, you know, like the Song of Songs, the best of all songs, the Holy of Holies, the holy of anything and everything that can be set apart or considered holy. So we have Habel Habalim, Habel Habalim, the vanity of vanity. So this is like the height, right? To say the height of vanity, right? Of lack of any permanence. Hakol, the all, literally in the Hebrew, the all. Hakol, like we say about the Holy One's name. His name is Hakol Tov. It's all good. It's the all good, right? Here we have Hakol Habel. It's the all vanity. It's all like a breath. So a Rebbe, a teacher, a scholar of Torah, taught that Kohelet, right, the preacher, the Ecclesiastes, that he spoke of seven vanities to correspond to the seven stages of man, the seven stages of the human being that he experiences in his lifetime. So the ancients, many ancient cultures testify to this, that they observe that man, there's a sevenness of man, right? A sevenness of man. There is that document that we have about the phases of life, and also points out, like, if you take your birthday, whatever day your birthday is, your earth day, birthday, and you count, I think roughly, is it 52 periods, right? You will find that 52 days periods, that there's 52 day periods in sevens from your birthday to your birthday. And even in that cycle, if you are wise and pay attention, there is this seven stage aspect. Right, as it says, teach us to number our days. So the seven stages of man that he experiences in his liberty, his lifetime. At 1 year old, one Rebbe teacher explained it like this: at 1 year old, he is like a king. I gotta laugh because, yeah, and mama usually makes that happen too. But then she is mama, you know what I mean, all that. You know, but at 1 year old, right, he is like a king, right? Everyone embraces him, pays deference to him, bows down to him. You get it? You get the word picture, the allegory. At 1 year old, he is like a king. Everyone embraces and pays deference to him, or vis-a-vis a queen, right? If she be, right? At 2 and 3 years, he is like a pig, right? Groping in the gutters, you know, children, you know, when we were young, you know, 2, 3 years, always getting, oh, you messed up your phone. Look, you get so dirty. You know, the child doesn't, you know, just enjoying life. At 10, he skips like a young goat, right? Upon the tops of the mountains. At 20, he knies. When he turned 20, when he's out of his teens, 19, he's not out of the teens, he becomes 20. What does he do? He knives like a horse. You know what a horse is. You know, he's getting maybe horny like a horse, too. And he seeks a isha, eshet, a orset. He seeks a isha, a eshet, a orset, a wife. After marriage, right, he bears burdens like a ass, like a donkey, because now you put the don to the key, and he bears burdens like a donkey, an ass. And he hardens his face like a dog. What's up, dog? You know, ain't nothing. Same old, vanities. Like, in search of sustenance, right, to sustain him, right, and hopefully his family. In old age, it is said by this sage, he is like an ape. I know it ain't funny, but it's something that's true about it. But even if you might rearticulate these seven stages somewhat differently, one thing is inescapable is the seventh. Right? Is the seventh. Right? One more verse right here, just to make it a three for three. What profit hath man of all his labor wherein he laboreth under the sun? This is the Hebrew nobody knows. Yeah, this is the Hebrew blues in a sense. There's that aspect to it, right? But lest you think it's overly melancholy, read, give ear right here, here, here. So here picking up, what profit? Ma yitron. Ma yitron la Adam. What profit for Adam? Bekol amalo. Bekol amalo. In all his work or labor. Labor, the word amal, amal mean like real toil, real like toil. So amalo, amalo, his labor is like real, like sweat. Like I was sweating, you know, amale, right? Bekol amalo. She ya amal, she that which ya amal, that which he labors, tahat, tahat, under, tahat, ha, Shamesh, that he labors under the Shamesh, that he labors under the sun. Tahat ha-Shamesh. Now it's a key, the wisdom key, a little wisdom key. Note that it's context. He didn't say that he labors above the sun, right? But notice the context is under the sun. Tahat ha-Shamesh, right? So prophet, let's look at the word prophet. In the Hebrew, we have Yitron. Now, Yitron is related to Moses, his Ethio Hebrew father-in-law's name, Jethro, Yitro. Yitro is related to the same thing, Yitron, right? Yitron. We use this word here like Yoter, like something is Yoter, something else. Something is better than something else, Yoter, right? So we have Yitro, right? Jethro. But here we have prophet, right? Yitron. Ma, what? Ma yitron. La Adam. Ma yitron. What prophet? La Adam. What prophet is of Adam? Or what prophet is like for the man, for the Adam? Speaking of humanity in Genoa, in general. Speaking about, when we say Adam, Hebraically, we're talking about all humans. Right, but then as people separate into nation, then he called I and I patriarchs and matriarchs out, Yasharala, you know, Yisrael, right? Through the Hebrew way, truth and life. Prophet, the word prophet here, it's an important word for the understanding, the understanding, the overstanding of Kohelet. Let's put it as the philosophy. Is this Hebrew philosophy right here, this Judaic philosophy, the word Yitron. Prophet, right? Prophet is a very important word. Take note. The Hebrew is Yitron. Ma Yitron. What prophet? It's like in the Gentiles, they say this from their Greco-Roman roots. They say this in their Latin roots. They say, qui bono. You hear people say, qui bono, qui bono. Qui bono, or qui bono in modern Latin-ish. Right? It means like for who's good. Qui, like who's bono. Bono is like good, to say who's good, for who's good. Our way of saying it in the Hebrew philosophy, right, our Ethio Hebrew philosophy is ma yitron. Ma yitron, what profit? Ma yitron la Adam. What profit is it for man? So this is an important root word. This word yitron, it occurs 10 times in the book. And get this. Nowhere else in the Hebrew Bible. Uh-oh. The root word appears, but not in this form, Yitron. We have Yotor, Jethro, but here we have Yitron, prophet. This is an important word to understand Ecclesiastes, the Hebrew philosophy. It occurs 10 times in the book of Kohelet Ecclesiastes and nowhere else in the Hebrew Bible. It is the criterion. Ma yitron, what prophet is the criterion by which he, right, and even I and I, the disciples, are called to test the value, the yitron, the value of objects and experience, speaking objectively. to test the value of objects and experiences, being a false standard, it leads him to false conclusions. He wasn't expecting that one right there, right? You know, he said, oh, yeah, it's important, but because it is a false standard, right? It's a false standard. Profit is a false standard. Yeah, in the world, flesh, Satan is the claw, I'm the god of this world, and Satan is one and the same, you know what I mean? But not the true power, the almighty power, right? And he is so Elohim that even there's this name beyond Elohim, but we use that as a point of reference. So Yitzron, right, is what he uses to test the value of objects and experiences, but it's a pseudo standard. Hebraically speaking, it's a pseudo standard, and it leads him to a lot of pseudo conclusions. The literal meaning of the word is surplus, yitron, to be better, to be more so, yoter, but to be more so, yitron, the profit in the sense of surplus. It's surplus when we do in the books, when we're looking at a balance sheet, an accounting sheet. So an accounting sheet, Hebraically, the yitron is the surplus. Not how we broke even, right, in what we did in the investment or work, but it's what is the profit, what is the surplus, what is the yitron, what is the overflow on that balance sheet, right? Speaking economically, speaking according to stewardship, which is economics. It was probably one of the words that the commerce of the Yehudim, of the Jews, even we, the black Jews, after the captivity from Babylon, had brought into common use, right, Yitron. So after the Babylonian captivity, right, and moving forward to like Malachi, right, and in the apocryphal 400 years, apocryphal books, coming up to Matthew, just to understand where it began and continues even to this day, right? The question is in substance, you know, substantia. In other words, how can I say? It said that everything that we can see is made of what we can't see, right? What we can't see is the substance. You know what I'm saying? And just to put that context, it is what is standing under. What is standing behind the visible simulation of this reality? What is standing behind it? I'll give you examples like the web pages and technology. It's basically ones and zero, male and female, yes and no, basically, right? But from that, look at all these things that we can, like we look at the web page, right? But what is standing under the web page is the code, right? The code. So here, Kohelet is looking to the code. Right. So the question is in substance, almost in form, identical with that of our times. What we hear people say, is life really worth living, man? This life ain't worth living. See, that perspective is dependent on what they are seeing in their mind's eye. What are you looking at? The beauty in the eye of the beholder. Right. And depends on one's vision. You know, like everyone may not have the same vision as they get older. Some of us, they need glasses or other, you know, instruments to help and assist, you know, right? While our vision now about life could be the same way. Maybe we need some seeing aids. We're not seeing it correctly. In Hebrew, a question is sometimes used to express the emphatic denial. This is one thing that people don't pick up on. I hear people arguing about Bible, debating, and they think that a question or something, they're not really getting the spirit. They're looking at the letter of the law, but not looking at the spirit of it. Many times in Hebrew, right, a question, right, can also be an emphatic denial. Like somebody says, am I a fool? You know, like, you think I'm a fool? You know, like, you think I'll be silly enough to do that? It's like a rhetorical question. Right, but it can also be an emphatic denial, like what, me? You know, like, yeah, you. I'm talking emphatically. I denied it by saying what me. You know, I don't mean that. It's me. What profit? Ma yitron. It really means there is certainly no profit. The spirit of it, putting it in context and meditating on the spirit of the word, it brings out there is certainly no profit. Ma yitron. No profit. No profit. Profit in what? So you got to put it in context, not profit in living, but profit in what? What profit hath Adam hath Adam of all his labor. Ma yitron la Adam bekol amalo, wherein he laboreth sheyamol under the sun. Taha taha shamesh. Labor. Let's talk about labor. All right, already passed Labor Day. Is it, are we? I think so. I'm not too sure. All right, but anyway, maybe it's coming up. But labor. Let's talk about labor. Labor in the Hebrew, this word amal, right, in amalo, his labor, bekol, in all amalo, in all his labor, bekol amalo, right, is toil. The toil, like you really, it almost has a sense, as we would say today, slaving, really hard work. You know, when you say, this is hard work, toil. Since the Hebrew term implies hard and wearying work. You know, work that's so hard sometimes, and some of y'all probably know about it. You might come home and just lay down next day, you wake up next day. That's how hard that labor, that work is. Tahat, tahat hashamesh. This is the key word, the key phrase. Listen for it as Brother Hezekiah coming forward with a fulfillment read right here. Tahat hashamesh. Tahat, under hashamesh, under the sun. This phrase is found, guess how many times? 29 times in this book. This is what we do as Hebes, as Hebrews. We study. So we tell you how many times we know there's divine science and math, it's our word, in the proper context. This phrase is found 29 times in this book, Kohelet, to express the earthly scene. The earthly scene, Havarim, of man, of Adam's activities. So when it says men high and men low, the regular common man, all man is Adam, the higher man is Ish. But here, of man's activities and vicissitudes, his ups, downs, follies, undergrounds, mixed-up moods, attitudes, et cetera, was et cetera, right? An analogous phrase, current, that was current among the Greeks, right? But it would be hazardous, as many like to deduce, not deduce, but they deduce, right? They try to say, oh, they got this from the Greeks. Like, you know, like nobody ever wore a sandal until an Egyptian engraved it on the walls. Come on now. Are you really serious? Nobody loved their mother until they had to come to Egypt to love their mother and put their mother, in a sense, up on a pedestal. We had to learn that from Osar or Set. Even if he was far away, he didn't know about Osar. So come on now, get off of it. You know what I mean? So we have to recognize some things are just common to people who seek. Seek and you shall find. Many modern commentators, they do that, right? They say, well, this is analogous, but we have this in the Hebrew here, right? Some assume it was borrowed or rendered into Hebrew, like, you know, we had to wait till the Greeks come along to talk about under the sun. We couldn't see that this reality we live in is under the sun, tahat hashamesh. It has been found, this phrase, on certain so-called Phoenician inscriptions and is a variant of the next phrase, like unto it, under the heavens. So some would say under the heavens, and we have it here also in this book, and it's common in the scripts. So keep that in mind, Havarim. We got about an hour right here, but let's do this before we move forward right here. Returning to the Scofield Study Bible, that right there that I shared was from the Megillot. The Megillot is when Paul talks about, he says to the brethren, he says, and make sure that, I think it's Timothy or one of them, when he comes to me, he brings the parchments. You find that in the New Testament, the parchments. We have the five, the Chamash, Megillot, the five scrolls. That includes Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. These are usually read on one of the high holy days, and Ecclesiastes is the one for tabernacles or booths. But just to sum up right here from Ecclesiastes, the intro here, Scofield Study Bible. This is the book of man, quote, under the sun, Tahat HaShamesh, reasoning about life. It is the best that Adam, that man, Tahat HaShamesh, man under the sun, can do with the knowledge, the da'at, that there is a holy El, a holy power, Hayel, almighty, and that he will bring everything into judgment. The key phrases here in Kohelet Ecclesiastes is Tahat HaShemesh, under the sun, I perceived, I saw, and I said in my heart. I said in my heart. Inspiration sets down accurately what passes. But the conclusions and reasonings here, even in Kohelet, are after all man's, Adam's, Kohelet's, man's, Adam's. That those conclusions are just. They are right. They are just. In declaring it Hebel, vanity, in view of the Deen, the Don, in view of the judgment, to devote life and liberty to earthly things, to say exclusively, is surely true. But the conclusion here in the book at chapter 12, verse 13, is, some say, legal. We say it is Torah, the best that man, Adam, apart from redemption. We have to recognize that this written here is apart from what we have fulfilled right in the gospel, in the good news. Remember, it says so in the word, that there was that which the Almighty had in his own treasures, right, in his own secret. You know, almost like your parents say, I got to surprise you. Like, what is it? What is it? No, I ain't telling you. The surprise here is redemption, right? And it's through the gospel. So here is the best that a man, even the wisest man, apart from redemption, right, can do. And it does not anticipate the gospel, the good news. It's basically talking about life, Tahat HaShemesh. Ecclesiastes, as I and my brother brought forward, is in five parts. The first part is the theme. The second part is the theme being proven. The third part is the theme unfolded in light, in the illumination of human sufferings, of human hypocrisies, of human uncertainties, of human poverty and riches. And we say of human because in the beginning, man was created in the image after likeness. Therefore, we can say that his humanity and his divinity was one. But after the proverbial fall mentioned in Moshe's first book, chapter 3, right, he fell from his divinity. So the theme here is being unfolded in the light of just looking at it from the human perspective of sufferings. You know, like people say, why bad things happen to good people? My question is, I don't really know if I can be the judge of whether they were good people. And it's not to throw no shade on them, but that's a human reasoning, right? Human sufferings, human hypocrisies, human uncertainties, poverty and riches from the human perspective. Part four is the best thing. What's the best thing possible to the natural man, the nature of El man, the natural man, the Adamic man, apart from Hailahim? What can man do? It's only that what can man do even if apart from what Elohim is going to do? And the fifth part here is the best thing possible to man. What was the best thing? The preacher's given us the best thing. The Ecclesiastes given us the best thing, right, that was possible to man, to Adam, under Tahat HaTorah, under the Torah. You see, in a new covenant sense, we are not under the Torah. We become in-laws. Anyway, you know, in the Torah, like in-laws, different between under and in, you know. Be that as it may, right here, brothers and sisters and brothers, let us carry on right here, bring forward I and I, brother, right, Raz Hezekiah for part two, picking up with Ecclesiastes chapter five. Part one was at the end of the After the Shabbat podcast for day six, and here we're in the evening tide right here, for day seven. Right, for the Hosanna Rabbah, Hoshiana Rabbah. But here, let's fulfill.
Salamun Mal, Arsu, their feet,
these are also the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Let's pause for a moment. On that note right there, just one Selah tune before we ride up. Here's the first day service. We're at day 7. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna Rabbah, the great salvation, the great victory here on the seventh day. Also, the Hag Avot, circling, right, circling the altar, you know, circling even the ark, rally round, Jatron. Like to share, I and I, Sister Beta Israel from Ethiopia, Beta Israel of the East, we here, heal up, you know, from the West, we the Beta Yisrael here, over in the West, it's Western Hemisphere, you know, this North Country, healing up, you know, Ayala in Gedashet, she has a tune called Move right here, where she brings out from the Hebrew right here, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Rastafari, namely these verses, to everything there's a season and a time and a purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted even here in the season. So here Ayala in Gedashet with to move, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, here. Lanua, to move, almost like saying these things, you know, that happen just to keep it, as you say, keep it moving, or the cycle, how the cycle just moves on and on and on and on, proverbially speaking right there. Interesting. Lanua, 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 to move. She began off actually with chapter 3 at verse 2, where it says, eight, laledet, a time to be laledet, to be born, the eight, lamut, and eight. She says eight. So eight is like one of the words for a time, right? The eight, lamut, right, and a time to die. So eight, laledet, eight, lamut, time to be born and time to die. Eight, la ta'at, a time to plan. Eight, la ta'at, the eight, la akor, natua, and a time to pluck up that which was planted. You know, she goes on, she moves on. What, eight, la herog, a time to kill. It was herog. Yeah, a time to kill, right? Not the word murder, but a time to kill, harag, right? Eight, la herog, the eight, leopol, and a time to leopol or leopol, to heal, right? A time to break down and a time to weep. Then she went to the chorus, the eight, lifrot, right? Time to lifrot, to break down, the eight, livnot, and a time to benot, to build, livnot, a time to build up. And then, you know, she go forward right there, a time, and then the chorus right there, lanua, you know, like basically to move, you know, bringing out the sense of, you know, let's keep it moving right here. So right here, the part two.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohenu, Adonai Echad.
Here, stretching forth the right hand of fellowship to Chabarim, Talmudim, Shalanu, Taras, Hezekiah here for the read. Ecclesiastes here in the season. Chapter 5 to 8.
Chapter 5, the unfolding continued. Number 2, in view of riches and poverty. Verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of Elohim, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before Elohim. For Elohim is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and the fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow to Elohim, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should Elohim be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou Elohim. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at that matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saying the beholding of them with their eyes. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath in with his sickness. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which Elohim giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom Elohim hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of Elohim. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because Elohim answereth him in the joy of his heart. Chapter 6, The Unfolding, continued. Number 3, In View of Man's Inevitable End. Verse 1, There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom Elohim hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet Elohim giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live in 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Chapter 7, The Unfolding, continued. Number 4, In View of the Incurable Evil of Man. Verse 1, A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of Elohim, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. Elohim also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perished in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth Elohim shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed to all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know, and to search, and to seek out wisdom, and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth Elohim shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that Elohim hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Chapter 8, The Unfolding, continued, number 5, in view of the mystery of the divine providences, verse 1. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of Elohim. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen, and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There was a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear Elohim, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before Elohim. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men to whom it happen according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which Elohim giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there it is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of Elohim, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Chapter 9, The Unfolding, continued, Part 6, In View of the World's Wrong Standard of Values. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of Elohim. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event to all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For Elohim now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard and quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Chapter 10. The Unfolding Continued. Number 7. In View of the Anarchy of the World. Verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth the little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and the babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Chapter 11, Part 4, The Best Thing Possible to the Natural Man. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of Elohim, who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things Elohim will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Chapter 11, Part 4, The Best Thing Possible to the Natural Man. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of Elohim, who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things Elohim will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity.
Yes, yes, yes. It appears that the last chapter, I don't know what happened right there in the record right there, but give thanks, Brother Hezekiah. And I, you know, rejoice.
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let
them rejoice before God. Yes! Rastafari. Yes!
Yes, yes, yes. I know, Brother Hezekiah, Rosh Hezekiah, brought forward a reading. So there was chapter 12, but we got just up to chapter 11 right there. So here, just writing up right here, hopefully if that audible come forward, each chapter is a reason in and itself, but just to complete and fulfill right here, Ecclesiastes, Kohelet. We have chapter 12 regarding the best thing possible to the natural man, apart from Elohim, apart from the almighty power. So here we're at chapter 12, Ecclesiastes. Let's just bring up the Hebrew right here, side by side of the hard copy to chapter 12 right here. Remember, Uzkor, Zekor, remember now thy creator, Uzkor et Boreka, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to Hilahim who gave it. Habel Havalim, vanity of vanity, saith Kohelet HaKol. Habel, all entirety is vanity. And moreover, because Kohelet, the preacher, was wise, he taught the people da'at, knowledge, yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher, Kohelet, sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And furthermore, by these, Bani, my son, be admonished of making many books. There's no end, and much enough study is a weariness of the flesh. Part 5. The best thing possible to man, tachat ha-Torah, to man under the Torah. Verse 13. Let us make I and I hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear, reverence, Hilahim, the Elohim, and keep his commandments. For this, the whole duty of man, for this is the whole of man, the entirety of man. For Hilahim shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether evil. Conclusion right here, here, here. Ecclesiastes here in the season, reason for the season. Yes, I, Ecclesiastes, rejoice.
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God.
Jump! The Rastafari. Jump! The Rastafari. Jump! The Rastafari.
In light of all this, be a happy man, man or woman, be happy. Here, Gladiators, little Selah tune right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Whatsoever, so I may see it, may sing it.
Chag HaSukkot, Sameach, 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 Des, 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 Da, Joy, Sameach,
Yesah. El Alumish and every soldier is in the army. Uno righteous apostle serving the Almighty. Come rally round that room, rally round the justice sound. Cause I soon I must go down, and justice wear the crown. Justice will be ready now.
Justice, now eat it!
And so what do we have right here, here, here? Yes, I. So right here, we are at the 21st day of the seventh moon, or the early I was here October 16th, but evening come before morning, so we're in good time right here. In the eve, right, of this seventh day right here for Sukkot, for tabernacles. So we have the Hoshana, what's known as the Hoshana. Some would say in the English, the Western way, Hosanna, right? They'll take away the celebration of the S, and so it'd be Sa, right? So Hosanna, Rabbah, but we say Hoshiana, save I and I, Rabbah, oh, great one. So here we are at, here in the season, October 16th, 2022, first day, Sunday, Yom HaRishon Tov, Tawab, a good first day, Shavua Tov, and a good 7 days to come here at the seventh day. Here in the seventh month, seventh moon right here, known as Tishri, right, in the latter day naming of the month, but we know it from Taurus, the seventh month, seventh moon. Here we have the fire key, the offering right here, Numbers chapter 29, the word sound, verse 26 to 34, also the Brit Chadasha, as we have in the intermediate days of John, chapter 7 and 8, Yeshua at the Feast of Tabernacles and the connection of the water and the water festival aspect. But here, this is share right here, for Sukkot, or tabernacles, Hoshana Rabbah, Hoshana Rabbah, for the great, you say, the salvation, the great salvation, the great victory, save I and I now, you know, oh great one. And the Shemini Atzeret, which is actually looking forward to even what's called the Monday, right, in this season right here, the eighth day, because already this being the first day called Sunday, you're already in the seventh day here on the air and in the Irish. There's the readings. The readings, right, are from like Leviticus 22 and 23, going over, you know, the Medi on Leviticus chapter 22 to chapter 23. There's Numbers chapter 29 concerning, you could say, the offerings, you know, those offerings. And now we still go to the word sound of the offerings, but in spirit and in truth, as Hosea chapter 14, I think first and second verse says, bring words off in the calves of our lips, right, being living sacrifices. May the words of thy mouth, the meditation of thy heart, and the liberty of thy life be acceptable before he who he be the Almighty, Hashem Yeshua. Then we also have Deuteronomy chapters 14 and 16. So some of the readings for the day, the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, for the days, the seven plus, you know, the Shemini Atzeret, and for the seventh, Hoshana Rabbah, right? Hosanna Rabbah, the great salvation, which is the seventh day of the feast. And as you listen to the audible coming forward, I and I, Brother Ross, I and Sintafari bring forth that reading from John's Gospel, chapter 7 and 8, we find the observance of tabernacles, even the season, and when it talks about the great day and the great day of the feast, and when the great day of the feast was come. This is speaking about the Hosanna Rabbah, the Hoshana Rabbah, that is connected with Psalm 118, bringing that forward. So these readings, namely Leviticus 22 to 23, Numbers 29, Deuteronomy chapters 14 to 16, these readings, they detail the Torah, the direction, instruction, the laws of the Mo'adim. Mo'adim. What is the Mo'adim? Mo'adim. Mo'adim is the appointed times, the appointments. As we said, in the Old Testament Bible. In fact, let's just do this right here. I got a couple of minutes before we go to the grace part of this podcast, but just like to look this up, just to remind I and myself, give the details here. We have the word, the term, the phrase synagogue. My synagogue. I know ones might say, oh, the synagogue of Satan. Okay, yeah, I got you there, Satan, like the church of Satan, but that doesn't speak for every church, does it? But here we have the first mention of synagogue KJV Bibles in Psalm 74 and 8, right? They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together, you know, against I and I. They said in their hearts to destroy I and I together, Psalm 74 and 8. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burnt up all the synagogues. Okay, 90 seconds, y'all. 90 seconds, those who seek to call in. Or, of course, hopefully, for the fuller fullness, can go to Rastafari Israelites. We have 515-602-9761, 515-602-9761. But here, bringing out synagogue, right, so that there'll be no confusion about the Hebrew, the real sense, the true sense of the synagogue. We have synagogue in Psalm 74 and 8. Psalm 74 and 8, where it says, they have burnt up all the synagogues of God in the land. Let's bring this up in the Hebrew right here, here, here. Right? It says right here, Amru velibam ninam yahad. Sarfu kol mo'edei el ba'aret. So we have Amru. They said, right? They said, ninam. Amru bilibam. They said bilibam in their heart. Bilibam. Amru bilibam. They said in their libam. Libam. Here referring to the heart, the lip, the lay, the inner man, the mind, the will, the understanding, the inner part, the midst of something is the heart of something. Here is to say like in their mind, right, in their heart, like even the intellect is connected Hebraically. Amru bilibam. They said in their hearts, ninam is like from yana, ninam, let us downpress, suppress, treat violently, maltreat, vex. That's generally to say to like do wrong, to downpress or suppress. And in the hefo sense, to treat violently, to treat roughly. The primitive root of yana in the Hebrew is to rage, to go rage, to be violent. By implication, implied here is to suppress or to maltreat. In the King James Version, it's been translated as destroy, in a sense of thrust out by, to thrust somebody out, push somebody out, or press, down pressing, down pressure, or in the translation as proud or vex, to vex somebody. Another sense of do violence. Amru bilibam, ninam yahad, we will crush them, yahad, we will crush them, bringing out the sense of a union, yahad, ahad is one, right? One, and then we have yahad. Yahad has a sense of unitedly, in unitedness, right? Or together, to say like all together, right? All together, like as a unit, yahad, right? As an adverb, unitedly, let us do this unitedly. But the sense can mean like even completely, right? Completely. Ninam yahad, right? Yeah. And then it goes on right here. It says they have burnt up all the places, right? But no, in the KJV it says the synagogues of the land, right? So what's read here is sarfu from saraf, where we get the root for seraphim, a form of one of the orders, it is said, Ethiopically, of the angels, the nine orders of the angels. We have the seraphim. Seraphim, another way of saying the seraphim are the burners. You find them in the wilderness. They were like the fiery serpents, were called the seraphim, saraf, like the burners, Seraphim, the burners. Seraph means to burn, right? The burners, right? Basically, to like set on fire. They are set on fire. They kindle the burners. So they say, Sarfu, Sarfu, a command like that command, but here, Sarfu, they have, Sarfu, they have burnt. Sarfu, they have burned all, Mo'edei. So the word for synagogue, right, it says the synagogues of God, the phrase in the Hebrew is a two-part phrase, the Mo'edei, where we get the Mo'edim. Mo'edim is the Hebrew of like the feast, the festivals, the appointments, right? The Ohel Mo'ed, Mo'ed is the tent of meeting. So there the translator brings out the sense of Mo'ed as the meeting, right? The meeting Ohel, the tent of meeting, right? Translated is also translated as the tabernacle of the congregation. But the more direct sense is the tent of meeting, the Ohel Mo'ed. So what we have here is the Mo'edei. Mo'edei in the Hebrew, we call this constructive. It's constructive. It's like Mo'edei is saying the appointed places, the appointments, appointed places of. You know what I mean? So there has to be a connection right there of. It's a kind of incomplete, right? Mo'edei, right? It could have said the Mo'edim singularly, which is the same word actually used for the feast of festivals. So the original sense of synagogue is a coin of Greek word, as, you know, the Greeks and, you know, the Romans and all that admixture. You know, we pick up on different things like we pick up here, even in this Western Gentile culture. But getting to the roots, you know, they call it the Mo'ed, a Mo'ed. Mo'ed means like an appointment, a place. It refers to the place, right? Mo'ed refers to the appointed place, to the appointed time, and also to the meeting, the Mo'ed. Here it says the Mo'edei El, the appointed places, the appointed place, time, the meetings of El, of the Almighty. So it's appointed time, the sacred seasons, right? The reason for the season, the Mo'edei Yahuwah. When we say Mo'edei, it's constructive. It's the appointments or feasts, appointments of. So we have to put, well, who is it of? Like when we say Haileh. Haileh is the power of, it's a goodness, right? Haileh. So we have Haileh Mariam, the power of Mary, you know, Haileh Mengist, the power of kingdom of government, Haileh Selassie, the power of the Trinity. What we say Haileh means my power. We have to over this here, otherwise we confuse ourselves. But the Mo'edei Yahuwah is the appointed, the appointments of he who be who he be, or the feast and festivals, how the translator brings it out. Just to bring out the layers, the spirit of the letter of this word, Mo'ed, the appointed meeting, the appointed place, and appointed sign or appointed signal. The tent of meeting was referred to as the Mo'ed. So the feast festival, the feast time, the fixed season. Properly, we can say appointment. Also, technically, a congregation is a Mo'ed, a place of meeting, a signal. Like giving a signal beforehand is a Mo'ed. So here in Psalm 74 and 8, where the King James Version calls it the synagogues of God, Mo'ed is the Mo'edei El, is the appointed place, right? The appointed meeting place. So even in the land, there were places where the faithful would meet, right? And these places in the Greek translation or interpretation from the Hebrew were called the scene together, gaga, the scene or the sunagaga. Sunagaga, right? Sinagaga, the places of the scene mean together, and gaga mean to gather. So the gathering together, right? So just to bring up that sense, so the Mo'edim, the appointments also technically, right, would be the synagogues in the sense of where we gather together. It's I, we the people. So the appointed places, the appointments, Mo'edei El, which can mean that these places that they would meet, it can also mean that they try to bun up all of our, you know, gathering times, you know, like we replace it by all their foolish Gentile holidays. But it says call, it says start a fool. So they're burning something. So in this literal sense, they're burning those places that your people would meet. Sarfu call Mo'edei El Ba'aret in the land. KJV, they said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burnt up all the synagogues of God, or the Mo'edei El, the appointed places of the Almighty Ba'aret in the land. Just to clarify that right there, you know, so we don't get caught up on, you know, lost in translation, as it were. So the Mo'edim, these readings that we have, and once again, Leviticus 22 to 23, Numbers chapter 29, Deuteronomy 14 to 16, these readings, they detail the direction, instruction, the Torot of the Mo'edim, right? So Mo'edim is not constructive. You know, it's just a feast, appointments. The appointed times, the appointed seasons, the appointed places. Mo'edei would be the appointments of, right, in that sense, or the places, appointed places of, right, or the feast festivals of. In the Yehudi, the Hebrew, the lunar, solar calendar, and to include the commandments regarding the festival of tabernacles or Chag HaSukkot. Now, on the Simchat Torah, the joy of Jalor, that will be on the day after, right, the Shemini Atzeret. The Shemini Atzeret is the eighth day. On the ninth day, out here in the diaspora, we have the Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah, where we will fulfill the 54th sabbatical study, the reading in the Shemesta, with Wizot HaBaraka, Wizot, and this, she, Ha Baraka, and this is the blessing, namely Deuteronomy chapter 33, right, verse 1 to chapter 34, verse 12, for the Simchat Torah, and the first chapter of Bereshith of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. And then we resume, right, our sabbatical studies, you know, from Shabbat to Shabbat with Bereshith, the first chapter, first book of Moshe, Bereshith, Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, and looking forward, 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 right? Looking forward, forward, forward to, I think, was it the, what would that be, the Saturday, 18th, 19th, 20, 21, 22, yeah, October 22nd, on October 22nd, 2022, or the 27th day of the seventh month, and that'll be a Shabbat day. So we resume right there. So Simchat Torah, the celebration of the Torah, the joy of the Torah, the joy of Jalor, is where we conclude and we begin anew. So that Aleph, Tau, Alpha, Omega, we end, we seal up, right, and we begin again with our sabbatical studies, the annual Torah reading cycle. First, we read the Torah section of Wizot HaBaraka, which is the final reading from the fifth book of Moshe, and this, she, is the blessing. And then we read the first chapter of Bereshit called Genesis, the beginning of the following Shabbat's Torah reading and feeding. Some interesting medis here in the season. Just to touch on a few just by topic, and hopefully we can pick up on it that go along with the season here. So the meditation is, when was Yeshua, right, Hanotri, Jesus of Nazareth, born, right? What about the Chaye Olam, right? The Chaye, the life of the world, or eternal life, right? Faith and the sign, the faith and the sign. Tachanun, what's the Tachanun? Tachanun is like beseeching for grace, you know, prayers for grace. The sheltering presence, one of the themes, the sheltering presence, the sheltering presence. Here in the season, the Mo'edim, the appointments, the High Island Day, Sukkot, Tabernacles, Hoshana Rabbah, the Great Salvation, Shemini Atzeret, the Eighth Day Assembly. Remember, the Hoshana Rabbah takes place on the seventh day, right, of Tabernacles. The great day, as the KJV brings forward, right? And we have the Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day assembly. Then on the ninth, so to speak, the ninth day, the Simchat Torah, right? Where we begin the cycle of the Torah readings, the readings and feedings again. So our Torah reading for Sukkot, for Tabernacles, Shabuah, for the week, for the 7 days, the Shabuah long celebration, It may seem a bit complicated, right? In addition to the passages we read for the holy day and the holy days of Tabernacles of Sukkot, we will also and have read, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes, known as Kohelet, the preacher, for the Shabbat day of that Sukkot or Tabernacles, whatever the Sabbath occurs while we are observing Tabernacles. We also read both the very last portion of the Torah, Wizot HaBaraka, which is Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1 to chapter 34, verse 12, as well as the very first chapter of HaTorah, namely Genesis, Bereshit in the Hebrew, Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. For the holiday, the holy day of the Simchat Torah, for the celebration of the Torah, the joy of Jah's direction, this immediately follows the eighth day assembly, known as the Shemini Eighth Atzeret assembly, or the sense of like the sealing up, right? Finally, on the Shabbat, the Sabbath that follows the celebration of the joy of the Torah, Simchat Torah, we will read the entire, the fullness of the portion of Bereshit, what often is translated as in the beginning, mo better, in beginning, even more better, in Chokmah, in wisdom. Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 6, verse 8. Now the upshot, so to speak, thank you, John J. Parsons, but the upshot is that during the season, the Zeman, Simchatenu, the season of Ionite joy, right, of the Shana of the year, we will read the end of the Torah scroll, right, of HaTorah. And then we will rewind to Bereshit, to in beginning, right, in wisdom. Every Shana, every year, in the Rastafari Yeshiva, we've been doing that on the Ear and the Eye, we read the Torah from the beginning, from Bereshit, right, to the end. Right, to the soft, so to speak, the end. We do this every Shana because Talmud Torah, which is the study of Torah. So the word Talmud, right, is actually study, right, teaching and study of Torah, Jah's direct instruction. Not reading the Talmud or the Babylonian, this one or that one, but actually studying the Torah, Talmud Torah, the study of the Torah, is an ongoing venture in the life, in the liberty of one who truly is Yehudi or is a Yid, is a Yehudi, right? Even we, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah. Now, in this connection, it is interesting to note that the very first letter of HaTorah is Beit, is the Hebrew B-Bet, Beit, right? In the word Bereshit. And the very last letter of the Torah is the letter Lamed, Lamed, in the word Yisrael, Yisrael, Yasharala, La, Yisrael is a Lamed. Now, putting these letters together, we get the word Lab, Lab, or Lib, Lab. Modern Hebrew will say Lev, 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 Lib, Lib, Lev is heart, Lib is heart, right, heart. Note the similarity to the English word love, lave, love, love, lave, right? Love, lave, heart in Hebrew and the English word love, right? Suggesting that the entire Torah, from the first letter to the last, from the Beit to the Lamed, it reveals the heart and the love of Ha'ilahim, the almighty power, for us, for I and I, and by extension for all humanity. Moreover, the first letter of the scripture is bet, or bait, the bait. Bait, bet, right, is the B, as explained already above. And the last letter, right, the last letter is noon, right, is noon, in the word amen, amen. The noon, amen noon, right? So the entire Bible, so to speak, from beginning to end, it reveals the person, right, of the Bain Elohim, of Elohim HaBain, of the almighty power, the sun, the bane for us, for I and we. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Uno righteous apostle serving the Almighty. Come rally round your throne, rally round the justice sound. Cause I soon by must go down, and justice wear the crown. Justice be ready now.
Justice, now it is!
Justice, justice, justice. Justice, justice, Tzedek, Tzedek, Terdolf. Justice, justice, shall thou, shall I and I pursue. So right here, after this reading right here from the Brit Chadasha, here on the first day, Melkam Ehud, in them heart, beautifully good first day, Yom HaRishon Tov. The Yom, the day of the head day, the first day that the Gentiles call Sunday, here on the first day, we have the main reading right here. Is from the Brit Chadasha, is from the Gospel according to Yohanan, and I'd like to reason a little, if possible, on Yeshua, right, and the water ceremony, the stretching forward, the right hand of fellowship, the I and I brother, I and I fellow Haber, Wyndham Ross, Ayas and Tafari, and take note for the reading, take note if one can read along chapter 7 and 8 of John's Gospel.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
John, chapter 7. Yeshua urged to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. After these things, Yeshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said to him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, shew thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Yeshua said to them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet to this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words to them, he abode still in Galilee. Final departure from Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up to the feast, not openly, but as if it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Yeshua at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now about the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learnt? Yeshua answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of Elohim or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goest about to kill thee? Yeshua answered and said to them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave to you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Yeshua in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed in him, and said, When Christ, when Messiah cometh, will he do more miracles than these that this man has done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Yeshua to them, Yet a little while, and I am with you, and then I go to him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? The great prophecy concerning the Holy Spirit for power. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, that they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. The people divided in opinion. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith to them, He that came to Yeshua by night being one of them, Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said to him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. And every man went to his own house. John chapter 8. The woman taken in adultery. Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Yeshua stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. But when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they that heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Yeshua was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst, When Yeshua had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are thy accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Adonai. And Yeshua said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Discourse after the feast. Yeshua, the light of the world. Then spake Yeshua again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Yeshua answered and said to them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they to him, Where is thy Father? Yeshua answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Yeshua in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and his hour was not yet come. Then said Yeshua again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said to them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore to you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they to him, Who art thou? And Yeshua saith to them, Even the same that I said to you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things that I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Yeshua to them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed in him. Then said Yeshua to those Jews that believed in him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make ye free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Yeshua answered them, Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that I have seen with my Father, and ye do that ye have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Yeshua said to them, If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, that I have heard of Elohim. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even Elohim. Yeshua said to them, If Elohim were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from Elohim. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Who of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of Elohim heareth Elohim's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of Elohim. Then answered the Jews and said to him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Yeshua answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me, and I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews to him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, whom is dead, and the prophets are dead, and whom makest thou thyself? Yeshua answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your Elohim. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like to you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews to him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Yeshua said to them, Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Yeshua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Praise his holy name. righteous people now, yeah.
Yeah.
Give his holy name the praise.
It's time for Israel to hail the King. Knowing Yahweh is his name. Come on, my people, and show him.
Lift your voices and sing. Praise his name.
Give thanks to our Shiloh right there. That tune right there. Hail the King, hail the King, hail the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Truth. So here, the chapter 7 and 8 for the intermediate days of the feast. And chapter 9 is very interesting as we just make the connection here to look at time that we have here still on the air for Rabbeinu Yeshua. Right, Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua HaNotri, and the water. What about water? What's often kind of missed is the water connections. There's a water connection. The prayers that are introduced into the Seder and the Siddur and the prayer and the Amida, the word of prayer for rain in this proper time and season, and also the water libation. So Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, and the water ceremony corresponding to the feast, the ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles. So during the 7 days of Tabernacles, of Sukkot, a sacrificial pouring out of water that's called a water libation was performed at HaHeikal. The Heikal is a temple, HaHeikal, Heikalo, at the temple, his temple at the palace, the temple in Jerusalem, pre-70 AD. This is found in Sukkah, right? A document, Sukkah 51 A to B. Sukkah is that pavilion, that booth, that hut. Sukkot is the plural sense, tabernacles. Now, in the ceremony, that's called in the Hebrew, the Nisuach, Nisuch, Nisuch HaMayim, Nisuch HaMayim. This particular ceremony, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, would lead a procession to a pool, right? A pool, Shiloah, Shiloah. This is what we get in chapter 9 of the Gospel according to Yohanan and John's Gospel as Siloam, 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 S-I-L-O-A-M. The Hebrew, Shiloah, Shiloah, where he would fill a golden pitcher with water and then return to the courtyard, the chatzarot of the Beit Mikdash, the holy house of the Heikal, of the temple. When the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, would pour out the water, the great crowd of people would wave the lulavot, their tabernacle bouquets, so to speak, you know, and also the waving of the bouquet and the sign of the cross, something that hopefully we'll reason on that more, the waves, like north, south, up, down, east, west, you know, back and forth, making that sign of the cross. They would wave their lulavot, right, the lulavot, and they would sing out. What would they sing out? Based on Psalm, right, Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26, Anah, Yahuwah, Hoshia, Na, Ana, Yahuwah, Hatzalicha, Na, Baruch Ahaba, B'Shem Yahuwah, Berakanukem, Mi Beit Yahuwah. Save I and I. We pray. We beseech the I, O Jehovah. O Jehovah, we beseech. We beg the I. Ana, Ana, Yahuwah. Let us thrive, or some interpret this as send prosperity now. Hatzalicha, Hatzalicha, na, Hatzalicha, prosperity, say success, to thrive, na. Like, na is a particle in Hebrew. It has a sense of like, when, not a word, but almost like to, like an expression, like, come on, na, right? Hatzalicha, na. Right, an expression. Going on, verse 26 of Psalm 118, one of the Hallelujah, the Elil Psalms. Baruch Haba, blessed, Baruch Haba, Haba, the one who comes, the comer, the one who comes, Baruch Haba, Bishem, in the Shem, in the name, Bishem, Yahuwah, in the name of he who be, who he be. Berakanukem, we bless y'all. We, I and I, bless y'all. Some say this was the priests, right? The Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim, and the Lewim to the people, some say. And some say likewise, it was the people to the Kohanim, the priests, and to the Lewim. This verse here from Psalm 118, verse 26. Berakanukem, Berakanu, we bless, I and I bless, Berakanu, Kem, you all, y'all, Berakanukem, we bless you all, Mi Beit, from the house, Yahuwah, from the house of Jehovah. So this is a connection of the Hoshiana, the Hosanna, Hoshiana. Ana Yahuwah, Hoshiana, Ana Yahuwah, Hatzlicha, Na, Baruch Haba, Bishem Yahuwah, Berakanukem, Mi Beit Yahuwah, we bless the eye from the house of Jehovah. So we have Psalm 118, Hallel Psalm, Hallelujah, praise Isis. It was regarded as a messianic psalm, a psalm of the quintessential HaMoshiach. We have the priests that was anointed the kings, they were messiahs too, but there was a prophecy concerning HaMoshiach, the Messiah. This is regarded as a messianic psalm chant when Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus Christos, Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua HaNotri, later, right, he appeared, right, during his triumphal entry into Yerushalayim, into Jerusalem. We have this in Matthew chapter 21, verses 8 to 9, Luke chapter 19, verse 38, and Yohanan, John chapter 12, verse 13. Robeinu, I and I, Rabbi Yeshua HaMoshiach, was initially greeted with shouts of Hoshiana, Hoshiana, right? And waving the lulav, that's what it says in the New Testament about the palm and different palm branches, and how they laid down palm branches, and because these are some of the branches and trees, the four species of branches and trees that are gathered in this season, this time. As the Moshiach HaMelech, Melech HaMoshiach, as the King Messiah, come to deliver Amo Yisrael, Yasharala, the people of Israel. Here we get the Hazon, the vision. Yohanan, John, again brings out in the vision given to him in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. Now, on a spiritual level, since that's the five cycle, the natural level, but on a spiritual, metaphysical level, let's note that water, the my in the singular, mayim in the Hebrew, waters, right, wucha, wuchoch, bamarinya, but here, my, the water, it represents, my or maya, right, it represents that which nourishes our hearts, heartically speaking. In Ermias, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, it is written, For me, my people have committed two evils, two rah-rahs, two rah-rah-rah. They have forsaken I, the fountain of living waters, of running waters, of flowing waters, of living waters, and heave them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. How often have we, I and I, perhaps sought for, quote, water, right? Speaking metaphysically of the Maya, the Wuha, water, we sought water from so-called sources. We didn't even know they wasn't sources at all. They were just resources. But anyway, from sources other than Ha'ilahim, the almighty power. How often have we, I and I, quote, hewed out our own cisterns? The cisterns was like a vessel, like a jug, you know, something to carry the whole water, not known as a hole in the bottom, right? Only to find out that they be broken. They be broken. They be leaking. They be unsatisfying. How often have I like found and find ourselves thirsty? We be thirsting for that which will truly nourish I and I hearts. It was during the last day of Sukkot, the last day of the feast, the last day of the festival. It's interesting, give thanks, Ras Ayerson, in that read right there, you know, when it speaks about and how it came to like that last day and what was said. Verse 37, John chapter 7, verse 37, the great prophecy concerning the Ruach HaKadosh for Chayil, for power, for Gebura, for power. Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast. So since this is Sukkot, Tabernacles, you know, the last day, the seventh day, the Hoshiana Rabbah, Yeshua stood and cried, more better, he didn't boo-hoo-hoo cry, but he shouted out. He stood and he gave them a shout out saying, if any man thirsts, make him come to I and drink. He that ameneth, mameneth, admitteth as true on I, as the scripts have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Those are his words right there as recorded by Yohanan. In verse 39 it says, but this spake he of Haruach. This he was speaking of the Spirit. He was using an allegory, right? A parable, a proverb, so to speak, a figure of speech, right? This spake he of Haruach, that they that amen, admit as true, trust, credit on him, should receive. For the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, was not yet, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. So right there we have it in the testimony, the observance here of the Feast of Tabernacles. Then it points out that last day, the last day of the feast. And what did, notice what he shouted out, right? And why did he shout it out? Because he knew, as he says, in your law, right? And as what is written and what I've heard, notice that what I've heard about Elohim, based on what I hear of Elohim. That's how he was proving them. And so what he said right here is based on those same principles. He cried out. He shouted out. If any man thirst, make him come to I and drink. And he that mameneth, that ameneth, that admitteth as true, that crediteth on I, as the scripts have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now here's a challenge to the Haverim Talmudim. Point to the scriptures. He didn't say what prophet or where, but what ancient scriptures? Are these some of the ancient scriptures? What scripture? Which scripture is he referring to? Out of his belly, right? So this is why during that last day of Tabernacles, Yeshua, he shouted them out. If anyone thirsts, make him come to I and drink. Whoever amens in I, trusts, admits as true in I, credits in I. Right? Don't think I'm incredible, not credible. I'm very credible and credits an I, as the scripts have said, out of his. Now, some translations bring out belly. Some others say out of his heart. out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. John chapter 7, verse 2, also verse 37 and 38. Robeinu Yeshua, Ayin Mas, Yeshua HaNotri, Yeshua HaMoshiach, he spoke of the living water. Now, when we say living water, that phrase is found in the Torah, the translation at least. In the Hebrew, it actually has a sense of flowing water. The idea is flowing water, not stagnant water, but flowing, the flow of the water. Spoke of living water that he would give to those who ask him, well, those who come to him. Come to his consciousness, step up, rise up. You know, this water, this Maya, he said would truly satisfy the thirsty heart and provide eternal nourishment for life, for liberty. As we say when we toast, l'chaim, for life, for liberty. John 4 and 14. He further explained, broke it down, gave them the darasha of his midrash, right, that this water would spring forth within the heart, heartically, as a result of trusting, of admitting in him as true and the truth. John chapter 7, verse 38. The apostle John, Yohanan, he calls this living water the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the Memphis Kedus in John chapter 7, verse 39. And today, Hayom, even on the day, the great day, yeah, Robeinu Yeshua says, to all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of water, of life, of liberty freely. Revelation 21 and 6, and also, in Yeshayah, right, Isaiah chapter 55 and 1, Isaiah chapter 55 and 1. Look more right here, see if we can get the fullness right here. The temple, the Hekal, known as the Hekal in the Hebrew, the temple, right, pre-70 AD, the light show. After the water ceremony during the evening, there were special festivities that was called Simchat Beit HaShoeva, the happiness of the house of water drawing, Simchat, happiness, Beit, the house, HaShoeva, right, the house of water drawing, it occurred. During this time, this Iowa, there were four towering menorahs, right? They were lit up, and HaKohanim, the priest, would put on what, for lack of a better word, would be a light show, performing torch dances with the torches. Right, Chibo, the torches, while Halloween, the Lewawi and the Levites, while they sang, keeping it Levitical and played the king's music. These shows would occur every night of HaSukkot of Tabernacles all through the night. These festivities were apparently so spectacular that many of the ancient sages and scholars have said, in Sukkah 5 and 1, it's read, he who has not seen the rejoicing at the Simchat Beit HaShoeva has never seen rejoicing in his life. Wow. In this connection, we must remember that Robeinu Yeshua revealed himself to be the light. He says, Anoki or HaOlam, to be the light of the world, or HaOlam, the eternal light, the light of the world, the eternal light in John chapter 8, verse 12. Indeed, Yeshua, Robeinu, used the very water, the Maya, from the pool of Shiloah called Siloam to heal the man that was born blind, thereby miraculously enabling him to see. See who? See the one who says, Anahu, I be he, to see the sun, the Bain Elohim Chayim, the Or HaOlam, the light of the world, the eternal light, Yeshua, right? In John chapter 9, verses 5 and 11, right? John chapter 9, verses 5 to 9, 11. Now, truly, Robeinu Yeshua is the substance, Yeshua. Remember, he is the word. that has become flesh from the very beginning, the Word, the Word, the Word. So let his Word incarnate in the eyes liberty. He is the substance and the inner meaning of this holiday, this holy day. Now, right here, here, here. Yes, I, Rastafari, just looking at the time right here. I'd like to kind of share this right here, the future fulfillment. Oh, we're in that time, that dispensation right here, here, here. The festival of Sukkot, of Tabernacles, has a prophetic dimension awaiting fulfillment as the day of ingathering of the harvest. Tabernacle Sukkot, it prefigures, allegorically speaking, the gathering together of Jah people in the days of the Moshiach's reign, earth's rightful ruler. Right, Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12 to 13, Jeremiah 23, verses 7 to 8. Indeed, all of the nations, the Goyei Ha'aretz, all the nations, nationalities that survive the great tribulation will come together to worship Yahuwah HaMelech, the Lord, the King, even the King of Kings in Jerusalem, even New Jerusalem during the Feast of Sukkot. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. Tabernacles, therefore, is a vision of the Olam Haba, of the world to come. Tabernacles also foreshadows Jehovah's sheltering presence over Yisrael in the millennial kingdom government. No longer will Yisrael, the Beta Israel, be subject to the downpression of the ungodly, the unjah-like nations, nationalities, black or white or otherwise of the world. But Hael himself will place his sanctuary in our midst, even in our hearts and minds. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 26 to 28. There's this last part here, but we're going to cue this rightly right here. Just a seal right here, one of the Sabbath seals, Psalm 67, right here, here, here. Yeshua HaMoshiach will indeed come to Sukkot, to Tabernacle, in I and I and we.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health, thy saving health, thy saving health. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. 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 be merciful unto us and bless us. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah.
Yes, yes, yes. Kadosh, 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 Ahu Elohim, Tzvaota, Haya, Vehoreh, Veyavo. Yes, holy, holy, holy. Kadosh, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, Haya, Vehoreh, and who be. And who Yabo, who is to come. So Yeshua HaMashiach indeed, right, indeed, did indeed come, right, to set that principle of the Sukkah, of the tabernacle, the dwelling, the abiding in I. In Johannes, John chapter 1, verse 14, that principle is brought forward. Even in the letters of Rabbi Shaul, the great apostle, apostle to the Gentiles, Brother Paulos, he says, the Torah, the law, the Torah is our schoolmaster until what? Until Moshiach be formed in us. That's the coming of Yeshua in spirit and in truth. In order to purge away I chatot, I lack, and redeem I to himself, to principle. Yes, by the eye of faith, the emuna, admittance, we see the revelation of the true Shekinah, the Shekinah of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, or Hebraically speaking, right here, even from Revelation, Yahuwah, he who be, Elohim, Sabaoth, of hosts of armies, Haya, who was, Wehoe, who be, Weyabo, and who is to come. They are bringing out even the trueness of the true Trinity, he who was, he who is, and he who is to come. In the person, right, of Yeshua, the Word made flesh, I beloved Moshiach, Christ, Messiah, being formed in I, in his people. Nevertheless, we still are patient. We await the full, right, of the manifestation for the brothers and sisters to come to the truth, to establish his kingdom, his government, and therefore to tabernacle, to dwell with I and in I again. At that hour, Yeshua, victory, salvation, will set up the eternal Sukkah with us and within us, so that I may know, may love and abide with him, highly him forever. Seal up right here, Maranatha, Yahuwah, Yeshua, Yishainu, Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranta, yes, I, Rastafari, Shavua Tov, Chag HaSameach, yeah, Hoshiana Rabba, great salvation, great victory, yes, I, overcome the evil, the ra-ra, and do good, do good. Shalom, Habarim, Shalom, Talmudim. Yes, I. Rastafari.